Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
It's Marto and Margo and a massive show, commemoration, unbelievable story from Simon Kennedy, who lost his mum 9/11.
That's
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Right now, get half price big brand vitamins and cosmetics at Chemist Warehouse. T's and C's apply.
Oh, thank God you picked up the phone, Marty. I've got a bit of a problem, mate.
What is going on, Marto?
Okay, I don't like...
Good morning, Margo.
Good morning, Marty.
I don't like stealing stuff. And Margo said, I told Margo about it during the song, and she said, well, just steal it. And I said, no, I've got... There's honour. There's an honour amongst radio people.
There is.
And you need to learn this, Margo. I want to steal. Do you remember years ago when you were on the Shebang, you know, your afternoon show on Triple M?
Many years ago.
All right. You may not even remember, so maybe I have to jog you. You did a segment, and I don't know how long you did it for, but I loved it, where you just went, you just come up with a quirky fact, and then you'd go a stamp, you go, fact.
Fact.
And then you'd go, another one, fact. And then you'd go 133353, give us your fact, your quirky fact, and they'd ring up. Are you with us, Margo?
Are you going to hit the desk again, or are you good now? You got that out of
your system. I got it out of my system. And this is from you anyway, because the Libra tampon things, like bottle caps, have odd facts. They call it the odd spot.
It is our women's equivalent of the bottle cap.
So where do you read the... Oh, I don't want to ask.
Well, I'm sitting on the toilet, Marto, of course, just, you know, expanding my mind.
So, Marty, can I run one by you?
Please.
Listen to this one. And chickens will not walk on ice. Fact!
I did not know that.
I know, and that's what's so good about this
secret. Do you feel
secret.
So much better now that you do, Marty? Are you so much smarter?
They're fun things to know, aren't they?
I know. This is how
human,
I feel.
Yeah, I'm not finished yet.
You're not done.
There's a lot on this Libra tampon.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Human thigh bones, that'd be your femur, is stronger than concrete.
See, I knew that because I read it.
Now, listen, next time I do it, wait for me to go, fact, and then start talking.
Sorry.
You ready? One more. A greyhound's eyesight is the best of any breed of dog. Fact.
Oh, my Lord.
It makes sense, doesn't
Incredible.
It? Because they're chasing the little rabbit thing around the
couldn't track. Couldn't they just smell it and just because it's dead or something like that, maybe?
Well,
when they were using kittens
in New South Wales, it was awkward. I'm not going to lie.
Are you happy to lend your very well thought out creative process that
I've
you brought to life?
I'm flattered that you've asked, but you've done the right thing, Marto, because it is a business where you at least need
infringement.
You at least have to credit someone.
Exactly.
God knows who I nicked it off.
If I find out you're using this between 3 and 4, there's going to be real trouble.
I'll put it in the 6 o'clock hour. No one will know.
Oh, mate. So we're all able to use it.
Absolutely. Take it, enjoy it, make it your own.
Was that the only thing you wanted to bother Shigsy for?
Yeah, I know, sorry. I know
Are you
going to
even
man.
Ask him how he is?
Oh, there you go, mate.
How's lockdown?
Well, how's wonderful.
How's and life shit in lockdown? So,
while I've got you, congratulations on securing the NRL Grand Final. That'll be a wonderful day.
It was a tight race, did you hear? We were the only ones in the running.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, who else
would have
it? A little
bit like the Olympics.
I think we were running against the same people we bid for the Olympics against.
No one.
Gibraltar.
Somehow. It'll still be fun, though. It'll be a great weekend, don't
it? It's a shame you can't come
up
for it.
Oh, no. You can't.
We'll be here, mate.
Eddie can't get to the AFL Grand Final in Perth either.
I hope they ban him from Brisbane, too. Had enough of him. Sorry to bother you, mate. I know you've got a big hour, 3 to 4, to prepare for. Just that whole hour of radio.
I'm always happy to hear from you guys, and big shout-out to your listeners. And, I look forward to watching the grand final at Suncorp because, I mean, God, in terms of where would you rather play, Suncorp or that hellhole out in the west of Sydney?
That is so true. We'll set the precedent and they'll never want it back then.
I mean, one road in, one road out. I went to see the Police there many years ago.
Oh, Jesus.
It was about an 8-hour turnaround from the moment I got in the car till I got home.
To see those mizzies.
I was going to say, what were you arrested for? Or do you mean the actual band?
The actual police sting out the front. You've never seen three blokes want to spend less time with each other.
But isn't he into tantric sex? So he'd love a bit of 8 hours before you get any satisfaction.
Hey!
Hey, thanks, mate. Sorry to slay you.
How about we take some calls? Do you want to do that?
Well, everyone's clear on what we're looking for.
You want like a fun, fast fact that nobody else knows.
And you go to work.
It's almost a little bit useless, but
it's worthwhile
knowing.
All right, I'll give you one more. Have you got the facts? Have you got a stamp?
I'm ready to go.
All right, are you ready? The average pencil can draw a 35-kilometre long line.
Fact.
I need something more.
It's incredible.
Fact.
Okay. All right. Fact.
Give us a call. The Big Breakfast at Brisbane's Triple M.
On average, a human will spend up to 2 weeks kissing in his or her life.
Fact.
Incredible. Kelly from
Margate. Anyone ring? Anyone ring?
Kelly, good morning.
Oh, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, what's your fun fact for us?
So no one knows how baby eels are made because adult eels don't have reproductive organs.
Fact.
So tell us, do you know how they're made?
Well, no, scientists don't know. So apparently it's something to do with the Bermuda Triangle and you have to look it up. They don't understand that all that.
Wow. Wait.
So they don't have any reproductive organs, yeah. Eels. So they, how do eels come about?
Kelly.
No idea.
Come in close. Kelly, come in close.
Yeah.
Now listen, there's no room for this segment for apparently, okay? It's all just
fact. No, it is.
You started saying apparently.
She said it's a fact that no one knows how baby eels are produced.
Okay.
Because they can't figure it out.
Sorry,
Kelly.
Thank
you, Kelly.
Sorry, Kelly.
Smarto's burner phone. Janelle, she said if you cut a slug's head off, its body grows back.
Oh, cool. That's really cool.
Richie Rich from Wellington Point. Good morning, Rich.
Morning. It's all about the egg.
What do you mean?
Well, eggs don't bounce. And the other one is, if you get a boiled egg and a fresh egg, a boiled egg will spin, but a fresh egg will not spin. It goes all oblong.
Wow. My God. I'm right to go now. I can go to, off work finishes soon.
But feeling so much more intelligent.
I know, Richie. Thanks, mate.
Jack from Annalise, text us on the burner phone, 0484101045. The nation of Nigeria consumes more Guinness beer per year than Ireland.
Fact. What? That's incredible. Can we do some fact-checking on some of these? That's extra. Gavin from West Chermside. Hello, mate.
How are you guys?
Yeah, what do you got?
Cows can't walk downstairs.
That is so true.
Can't they?
Something about their fetlocks, their knees can't.
They don't have knees.
Yeah,
they don't have knees.
Oh, do you remember that story? We played it from India the other day.
A delicate rescue mission's been undertaken in India after a bull found itself stuck on the second floor of an office building. The 200-kilogram beast wound up in a sticky spot.
Couldn't get down.
Had to get a crane out. Gav, great fact. Thank you, mate.
Paul from Redbank Plains, take us home. What's your fast fun fact?
Flies take off backwards.
What, like a chopper? They can go back.
That's why when you catch them, you've got to come from behind. Also, too, dolphins are the only animals that are other than humans that mate for pleasure.
Fact.
Wow.
Wow.
That's extraordinary. How long do they last, Paul? Do you know, are you allowed to ask questions? How long do the dolphins go for?
Probably longer than me.
Yeah. Jesus.
You and Marto, Paul.
Don't you bring me into this?
Tickets to River Fire coming up at Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Hey, no matter how much you'd like to ignore it, you can't. The US Open's on at the moment, the tennis, okay?
Yeah, and now Ash Barty, she dropped out.
That's right. So we probably, we haven't got much reason to watch. Well, you do when you consider what's going on there, what's about to unfold there. Okay. In two matches' time, Novak Djokovic could become the greatest tennis player of all time.
Really?
You always think, because I don't like Novak Djokovic, I love Rafael Nadal and Federer. All three of them are stuck on 20 Grand Slam wins, okay?
Wow. Wow, incredible.
And Federer's injured. He's having another operation. Nadal's injured. They're all getting old. They're all around. They're closer to 40 than they are to 30. So Djokovic said himself years ago. Well, he'll tell you himself. He knows he's about to be the greatest.
I consider myself best, and I believe that I am the best. But whether I'm the greatest of all time or not, I leave that debate to other people.
Okay, well, if he wins in two more matches, he's into the semifinals. He wins 21. He does become the greatest player in the history of tennis. And the other thing, a calendar Grand Slam. That's the Australian Open, the French Open, Wimbledon and US Open in 1 year. Only ever been done once, and that's twice, by a Rockhampton boy called Rod Laver.
Wow.
So this will be the first time it's been done since 1969. Okay, so he's pretty good, but he's a friggin' weirdo. He is a complete nutcase. Now, listen, he's just started calling himself. One of the worst things you can be as a human, Margo, is the person who gives themselves a nickname. Would that be correct?
Yes.
He started calling himself the Serbian Wolf, okay? Self-named.
No
one else. Just because he said, I'm a warrior, and he goes, I'm a loner. I'm out there on my own stalking. Well, I'm telling you, he's nuts. Incredible. If you want any more, he's also an anti-vaxxer. He believes toxic food and polluted water can be cleansed by the power of gratitude.
Wow.
I really he's love you, water. So he's turning, he's turning poo into wine, I think that's what he's doing. So he's at the moment, most tennis players stay in the middle of New York, and you hear Aussie tennis players going, it's the best tournament ever because you live in, you know, you're in New York, you're playing tennis, and you go back to New York at night time and la, la, la. He's about 50 kilometres away, staying in a $50 million house. All right, listen to this house. It's got a hyperbaric chamber, a grass court, a clay court, a hard court that is exactly the same in every dimension as the Arthur Ashe as the centre court at US Open. This is how he just puts everything into it. Every year in Melbourne, listen to this one if you want more kookiness. Every year in Melbourne, you know how he keeps winning the Australian Open. He goes to the Botanical Gardens, chat away to his favourite tree, which is, and here's him quoted, I love the Botanical Gardens and I love nature and I love to spend time daily there when I'm in Australia. I've got a friend there, a Brazilian fig tree that I like to climb up and I like to connect with. That's probably my favourite thing to do. Hopefully when he wins. So he wins, he goes and touches it and hugs it each day while he's in Melbourne. And then when he wins each year, he goes and climbs it.
Wow.
This is the man who did this at Wimbledon.
7-year-old boy in Serbia, you know, constructing a Wimbledon tennis trophy in my room from improvised materials. And today, standing with a sixth Wimbledon, it's incredible.
It's amazing what you can manifest in your bedroom as a 7-year-old.
Isn't it? Yes.
Can I just take this somewhere else very quickly?
Don't play tennis. That's what I want to say. You become a weirdo.
What qualifies you as the greatest tennis player in the world?
Well, to win that many Grand Slams. That's the ultimate, to win all the Grand Slams.
Okay, so can I just point out that Serena Williams has won 23 Grand Slams. So if we're going to be talking...
Singles. She did it. A lot of them are doubles.
Does it matter? Does it count?
Yeah, that's not... That's just hanging around with someone. Singles is where your mind is really on its own.
Riding off the coattails of somebody else.
It's the big breakfast.
We want a person who's just so sportistic that
just
he builds
can we acknowledge Serena Williams over Djokovic with that sort of behaviour?
Oh, no, she's an idiot as well.
They're all idiots.
Marto, Margot, morning. This is Brisbane's Triple M.
There is one report, as of yet unconfirmed, that a plane has hit of the World Trade Center.
American 11, are you trying to call?
Hey, what a call from Washington. I am a situation with America. Possible hijack.
United 175, New York. We have some problems over here right now. We might have a hijack over here, two of them.
Oh my God, another plane has just hit. It hit another building. Flew right into the middle of it.
Oh my God.
That looks like a second plane.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land?
He did not land.
I'm gonna die.
Ma'am, say your prayers.
Tuesday, 9:47 a.m.
Hi, baby. I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. I'm on the plane. I'm calling from the plane. I want to tell you I love you. Please tell my children that I love them very much. I love you. Bye.
Well, tomorrow marks September 11, and it's often referred to as 9/11 in commemoration of the September 11 attacks, which were a series of four coordinated terrorist attacks by the militant Islamic terrorist group Al-Qaeda against the United States of America. And that date, I'm sure, comes around all too quickly for many people, but one in particular, Simon Kennedy, who joins us this morning. Simon, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, very well.
Hey, you may as well tell us straight away the significance to you and what happened that day 20 years ago in your life and how it turned upside down.
Yeah, my mum, Yvonne Kennedy, was on a bit of a retirement trip and she was taking, she'd worked with the Australian Red Cross for like 30 years or more, and she worked hard bringing up two young boys into two young men, and decided it was time for the trip she'd always wanted. So she was on holidays, boarded Flight 77 from Dulles in Washington, and that was the plane that the Al-Qaeda terrorists crashed into the Pentagon.
How did you hear about it, Simon? Where were you? A lot of people remember their... I do. I was working on a roof that morning when I heard it on the news, on Radio News, but where were you?
I was in bed. It was because it happened in the evening our time.
Yeah.
And my brother, who lived and worked in London, was over there. It was morning there, and the TVs were on at his work, and he saw it all transpiring, and he rang me and woke me up and said, look, I've just seen this happening on TV. There's some planes hit some buildings in the US, and I'm a bit worried about mum. Could you check her itinerary? And that started the whole journey for us. Grabbed my mum's itinerary, you know, which she'd left with me, and put the pieces together pretty quickly. But, I mean, we always held out hope that maybe she hadn't boarded the flight. We had, you know, maybe something had changed in her plans. Unfortunately not.
You're sitting in Sydney, you're completely helpless. What happens next?
Look, I mean, there are a lot of phone calls to airlines, phone calls to hotels that she was staying at, that sort of thing, hoping that maybe she had changed her plans. But that was an agonising 24 hours.
Can I ask, when President Bush jumped up and said, we're going to get them, we're going to hunt them down and all the rest of it, were you after revenge at that stage? What sort of melancholy, what were you feeling?
Revenge isn't really part of my repertoire. I mean, justice for sure. You certainly want to see the people responsible held to account, which hasn't happened yet.
What do you mean? Didn't they got Bin Laden and they've got all these other people in jail?
They have the conspirators in Guantanamo Bay at the moment, still awaiting actual trial.
Are they 20 years later?
Yeah, so we're still in pre-trial hearings at the moment, and it's... and then, of course, there's a lot of other information which is yet to come out. Hopefully, Joe Biden's just signed an executive order that the FBI has to release everything they've got on 9/11. And within that, we'll probably find out a lot more about who was responsible for financing the terrorists. And there's a lot of conjecture over that being members of the Saudi regime. So it's a pretty twisted web.
Simon, tell me, in that moment when you go to Guantanamo Bay and you get to eyeball Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four other accused conspirators of 9/11, what is it? If it's not revenge, if it's, what is it in your heart? Do you know, you hear a lot of victims say, or families of victims say, that they want to have forgiveness for someone. What was it that you went there looking for?
I don't know why I went, to be honest. The offer had been on the table quite a few times to go to Guantanamo and sit there in court and view the proceedings. And I'd never really been equipped or logistically ready to do that. And this time came up, it was sitting just after the 18th anniversary. And I thought, you know what, I think I'm ready to do this now. And when I saw him, I saw the five accused that were in the courtroom, I realised that I'd come a long way. And I didn't feel anything much, really. I think I felt pity for them, if anything, because I'd let go of hate a long time ago.
Well, that's one of the reasons we are talking to you about, apart from the 20th anniversary, is the book you've written, 9/11 and the Art of Happiness. You're one of Australia's leading comedians at the time. How did that knock your comedy around?
Yeah, look, I was a 26-year-old guy, and I was on the up. Things were going really, really well for me in comedy. I was thinking, oh, yeah, this is all right. I'm getting somewhere. And it took the wind right out of my sails. It was a tough one.
9/11 and the Art of Happiness. You made it your duty to learn more about and understand the Middle East and Islam. What are some of the things that you learnt that you write about your experience in the book that you can share with us?
There's as much in that's not in the book that's in it. And I honestly, I've made some really wonderful friends over the years because of my experience. I've made some great friends who are Muslim Australians who I love dearly, and I can't imagine not knowing them now. People are just people. Most people in this world are just trying to live a good life. There's only a handful that are trying to destroy it for us all, and so we have to make sure we don't turn on each other.
Some pretty big moments in your life over that time that you didn't have your mum there for. What do you miss most about having her around?
I miss not having her here for the kids. They would love their grandmother, and she would be obsessed with them. She'd be so proud. So I miss not having her here. There's not a day goes by where I don't thank my mum for the bloke she helped to make me, and I wouldn't have got through this if it wasn't for, yeah, the example she set.
Simon, thank you, mate. Great chat. Thank you very much. Author of 9/11 and the Art of Happiness. Good luck tomorrow during the memorial.
Thank you very much, guys. Stay well.
Dirty dishes, snot on the towels, Brisbane lazy kids, and sadly they are ours.
You hear that? That's time to expose Brisbane's lazy kids because they're every bloody way. Remember last time we did it, Margo? It sounded something like this.
Yeah, I've got a five-year-old daughter that when she eats her food, instead of taking it up to the sink, she'll put it inside the TV cabinet drawer.
Yeah, when I was 15, 16, my mum was hounding me about making my bed and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I just grabbed a sleeping bag and I'd just sleep in the sleeping bag.
Lazy. Remember that? There was one ringing in that said, my son wears his school uniform to bed every single night because he's so lazy in the morning.
My daughter sleeps on top of her sheets.
That's
so
right.
She doesn't have to make her bed.
That's so good.
133353.
Let's give them a bake.
Lazy
I know they're
kids.
Cute and they're
give
our
them a
kids.
Kick up the butt.
Yeah, let's expose these lazy kids of Brisbane. Give us the laziest. We have prizes.
Oh, yeah. We've got $100 to spend at Fitzy's Fresh
Seafood.
Yep. Tarragindi Fresh Seafood, craft beer, wine and homemade seafood pizzas. $100. We're looking for
lazy
kids. A couple of lines have just opened up. In fact, I think we might have had to hang up on a few people. But 133353. Best caller today. $100 to spend at Fitzy's Fresh Seafood.
Mm-mm.
Get it off your chest. Tell us about it. Tell us about your lazy kid.
No, let's have a laugh about how lazy your kids are, and hopefully they'll hear it and they'll be humiliated into changing their behaviour.
Jason from Burpengary, have you got a lazy kid?
Oh, I've got the laziest one in the country, I reckon.
How old?
19.
Oh, yeah, they're
19.
Lazy, aren't they? Living at home. They're messy. Yeah. A boy or a girl?
A boy.
Yeah, boys. 19-year-old boys are messy.
Yeah, terrible.
Aren't they?
Yeah, so
what does yours get up to?
Oh, not much. His room looks like, you know, one of those bazaars that you travel to in, like, some third world country where they sell recycled clothes?
Yeah.
Well, that's his bedroom, right?
Is it like, really dark?
Oh, no, the blinds are open, thank God, but it's just got this smell about
smell.
It, you know, like, and his mum will do his laundry for him and put the baskets in his room because now she's just given up folding them.
Yeah.
So the arse will just chuck his dirty clothes on top and he has, and then you go to find a basket for the laundry and you can't find it because he's got 16 in his bedroom.
I know
just
them. I know you're talking.
Top with dirty clothes.
Does he do anything to help out around the house? No, he doesn't.
But I'd like to send a message to him because when he goes to his girlfriend's house, he sure does it there, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, they are capable.
I heard the same thing from my son, like the mother of his girlfriend said, oh my God, you've brought this child up so well. He does a lot. Washing up every night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I think he uses all his energy over there, mate.
Just shut the door, Jason. Out of sight, out of mind.
Take care, guys.
Great call,
see you, mate. Josh from Ben Lee.
Mm. Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Have you got a lazy kid?
Yeah, my daughter, when she was 2.5 years old, I came inside and I smelled like poo in the lounge room. And I said to her, do you do a poo? And she said, yeah. And she pointed
honest accountable.
She's pointed to a pile of tissues on the floor.
Oh.
And I said, what are you doing crapping in the lounge room? And she said, well, the toilet's all the way down the other end of the house.
Far away.
It's almost outside.
Fair enough.
I've got a five-year-old that does that. She'll just wet her pants on the trampoline because she's like, oh, the toilet's too far. I was having too much fun. And I'm like, what?
Lazy.
Go to the toilet, you're gross.
Oh, Josh. We've got a voucher for you to spend at Fitzy Seafood in Tarragindi.
Oh,
$100 to spend there, okay?
Oh. Cheers.
They
Thank
drop in there,
much.
Josh. They got car craft beer, they got wine, and their seafood is incredible.
Just don't shit on the carpet.
Excellent. No. sounds great.
It's a big breakfast at Triple M.
I love the morning.
The big breakfast with Marto and Margo. Triple M.
Oh, finals, footy in September. It's all happening here in Queensland. Storm Manly, Friday night. How good a game will this be? 10-8 at Sunshine Coast Stadium. So they've virtually got home ground advantage. Actually, so have Manly. Actually, they're both staying up the coast. It's an extraordinary situation, extraordinary finals series. And this bloke here is going to be front and centre, Christian Welsh from the Storm. Hi, mate.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having us on.
Well, can you explain to everyone, I think there's five teams in the finals all staying together up the sunny coast. Am I correct?
Yeah, there's a bunch at Twin Waters there in the hub. We came up a bit later, so we're in a different spot. We're at Noosa, so...
Oh, Noosa?
Yeah, doing it tough, but there's plenty of NRL teams, all scattered out throughout Queensland, as everyone would know, and it's just great to see, you know, some regional venues get a finals game. I think Rockhampton have got one, and they're going up to Townsville. It's going to be a great weekend of rugby league.
Christian, there was a picture that went a little bit viral across social media of you with some of your teammates and no shirts on, and you wanted to come out and make a pretty hard stance against prop shaming.
Yeah, it's rife in society these days, especially, you know, close family and friends of mine were quick to stick the knife in. And I just want to remind them, you know, that these wingers, you know, they're like the skinny kids at high school who have a six-pack. They don't work for it.
Lightweight.
They're about 6 kilos. So I don't like the blokes. I don't like their personalities. And, yeah, you know, you got to stick up for the durable bodies out there. You know, they just get the job done and don't live in the injury ward all year.
At the Pap, what's going on with his hair? Who gives him advice that that looks all right?
Not sure. He's rocking it, though, isn't he? I think he's doing some fundraising for charity, so it's going to a good cause.
Well, our very own Greg Martin, that you're in the presence of, felt it would be a good idea for a man of his age to emulate the Pappenhausen, and he growing a grey mullet.
I've given up now.
Love in it. Honour of.
I rang him and sent him a photo, and he was impressed. But
it was disgraceful.
Okay.
We had to get the barber from downstairs up to come and trim it, and he wouldn't have any of it.
Yeah, grow it out, mate. Get on board. Rugby league.
Rugby league, all right. Now, listen, you're a bloke from Villanova, played footy down at East Tigers here in Brizzy. Can you remind everyone how you ended up at the Storm?
Yes, I tried making it.
No one wanted you here, did they?
I did make it in Union and tried to go the schoolboys route, didn't get anywhere, and then went down to East and didn't really get anywhere with the Bronx either. But, I was very lucky. Melbourne kind of saw something and brought me down for the under-20s program, and yeah, I've been there ever since. I think it's 9 years in a couple of months I've been down there. So,
Christian, would you say that you're upset about not getting the call up to star in the undies ad with the Hectic Cheese and Cameron Munster? Because going by the looks of that
He's not in the menu ad.
Your shirt is off. I reckon you run rings around money when it comes to bods. If I was casting the ad, you would have got in.
You need a new manager because you haven't been in the menu log ad either. So somehow are you pricing yourself out of the market, perhaps?
Oh, I don't think so. And as I said, you know, props need loving too. So any commercial support for the big boys would be appreciated because it's just wingers, fullbacks, and you know, and they win in things like Dally M's or Golden Boots. They're a bit overrated, all those things, to be honest. But
it's boring.
They don't know what goes on in the dark areas. Do you still say that you guys push the pianos and they play them?
Yeah, 100%. They know it as well, to be fair. They won't tell a journo it, but, you know, inside the four walls, they're very grateful to all the big boys, which is, nice. You know, it's pleasing at least.
In what ways are they grateful? Do they get things for you?
Well, actually, it was funny you said that. I had a bet with Cameron Munster. He said, you won't score a try this year. And I'll shout every ruck forward a coffee every week for the rest of the year if you do.
Yeah.
And we were lucky to get over for an absolutely terrible try. It was like a 1 meter, almost botched it actually.
Who cares?
Boys have been enjoying free coffees for the rest of the year. But
based on you, can I just check something? Are you guys happy for us to call you our team, like the Queenslanders team?
Oh yeah, we love it. We've got plenty of Queenslanders, so get on board. But it's also great to see the Titans playing finals. You know, they had a great performance. It was a bit fiery, actually, but awesome to see them and their fans.
Yeah, they don't like us. We take the piss out of them too much. Now they're in the finals. We need a team.
Yeah, get on purple, mate. We've been up here 2 years now.
Christian Welch. Yeah. Good luck against Manly Friday night at Sunny Coast Stadium.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us on.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Margo, you're really letting the show down, mate. There's certain things that you have to do and there's certain things I have to do and we come together and do some things together. But last night, that was yours. The Broncos night of nights and you didn't go. I wanted a blow-by-blow of what happened at the Broncos awards nights for 2021 and you're going...
Oh, no, I've let the team down. I'm sorry. I had to do three other events yesterday I just couldn't fit the Broncos in.
Were any of them the night of nights? Was Payne Haas at any of those ones? No. Was Anthony Milford there? No. Was Alex Glenn saying his final hurrah? Oh, thanks for everything, Lixie. You weren't there.
I wasn't there.
But I look at the photos and I go, look at this current batch. They're impressive. Not on the field, but they're impressive. At the convention centre, just for everyone who likes their stats, the best player medal went to Payne Haas. The players' player medal went to Payne Haas. The best forward medal went to Payne Haas, and the player of the year for that tackle he made in round 16.
Payne Haas. Incredible.
Most consistent and worst haircut went to Jake Turpin. Well done, Jakey. Best back and man who never passed the ball once for the whole season, Herbie Farnworth.
Did you hear that Alfie gave him his award and called him Herbie Harnsworth?
You're kidding.
Accidentally.
Are you serious? Accidentally or on purpose?
I think Darren Lockyer made a joke and said, if you hang around long enough, you'll eventually get an award for Alfie. He's always here.
He's always here. Now, Corey, now Payne Haas, third year in a row. He's 21 years of age. Yeah. To take it seriously, 21 years of age.
Kobe Hetherington, rookie of the year as well. Oh, Marta, yeah, missed good. That one.
And worst moustache of the year for Kobe Hetherington. It's a double trophy there. Now, Payne Haas, three trophies, three times player.
Paul Morgan Award winner, yeah.
Corey won it three times
Corey
as
won
well.
It three times. Darren Lockyer has won it three times. And Petro Siminasiva has won it three times, only to be beaten by the man himself, Alfie Allen Langer, who has won it five times, Marto. But I think at just the tender age of 21, with three under his belt already, Payne Haas will take that out easily.
Now, you've run your eyes over him, so have I, over the girls. That's what it's properly – it's about this. It's about the girls, the awards night. It's not about the players at all.
Look, the standard, the expectation and the level of standard has dropped significantly since I was a wag on the red carpet.
Get up yourself. Come on,
there was a few questionable outfits there, I'd have to say, but my best dress went to, I thought, Gemma, Alex Glenn's wife, looked beautiful, Kate Brigginshaw, Ali Brigginshaw's wife, looked incredible as well.
You once gave me some advice, and I haven't done this, but don't show off your boobs and your legs. Yeah. You've got to make a choice. Mm. What were you? What did you used to do?
I was always a boobs girl.
You were, now, what do you think of this? Hold on. This is one of my daughter's mates. Bronte goes out with Paddy Carrigan.
Oh,
he's
Bronte. I was hoping
you Bronte?
She had her eyes closed. They put a picture of her in the paper with her eyes closed.
Hold on, now I'm interested. Now I don't want to take the piss out of them. What would you give advice if...
I thought David Mead, Tennille's wife, looked beautiful as well. Okay, look, it's always a good night. It's a bit of fun. Get on the drink.
Can I ask you, if my daughter came home and said, Dad, hooked up with one of the Bronx, I'm... yeah, well, this won't happen, I wouldn't think.
Does his wife know would be the first thing I'd say.
That'll do me.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Listen up, men. It's Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. 9 men in this country die of prostate cancer every single day. Mm. That is a stat. Okay, and quite simply, you can't let it go. The longer you let it go, it becomes a ticking time bomb, prostate cancer. And I tell you what, there's one bloke who's putting his hand up and saying, let's get the awareness rising in Australia.
Yeah, good mate of the show, for a V8 supercar driver, Craig Lowndes, and his beautiful wife, Lara, medical scientist. What about that for a power couple?
Hi, guys.
Good morning. Good morning. Craig, tell us, first and foremost, generally through lived experience, we come on board and align ourselves with charities, foundations, causes. Why this one for you?
Well, it's close to home. I think that, Margot, that my father and my brother have both tackled it and actually thankfully got on top of it early. And really, for me, now that highlights that it's in our family, and I get tested every year, which is, as you've mentioned, it's just as now simple as a blood test. So go to the doctor, get a PSA, and basically once you've got your baseline, maintain it over the every 12 months, which I get the tap on the shoulder from Lara saying, have you had it done this year? Which I haven't, and I've just got to keep monitoring now my blood PSA.
So, Lowndesy, it's a good example. Your old man, it's a lot more likely if your father, if it's in your family, that you're going to get it. He was diagnosed. How quickly after that did you and your brother get involved?
Well, actually, to be honest, both my brother and my father were very close together when they got diagnosed.
Right.
So, really, for me, it was a bit of a shock. And of course, you know, as you've mentioned, now that I've got two people in my family that have tackled it, now I'm fivefold. Like, I'm now a high risk, and that's something that I've now got to make sure that I monitor it. And as I said, they got on top of it early, which is very thankful. As you mentioned, it's, you know, 9 men die each day from it, so it's something that is very, very close to home for both of us. And as I said, Lara gives me a tap on the shoulder and tells me, go and get your test.
Nudge. Team Pink have got a really strong role in this, so, you know, respectfully. You know, it's boys sort of tend to let these things go. We know for a fact that if we get on top of it early, the survivability of prostate cancer is 95% now.
Mm.
But it's grabbing it early. Just like, girls, nag your boys.
Yeah. Lara, you sit on the board at the Prince Charles Hospital. What are some of the signs and symptoms that men and women in their husbands or partners can look out for to try and get onto that early detection? Because, you know, it's so treatable if you get onto it early.
Yeah, you nailed it. So it's one of the biggest issues is that there's not – it's our boys aren't always symptomatic. So it's just, if you know that you're at an increased risk, we know with you that you're at a fivefold risk, but just that yearly blood test, go chat to your GP, you know, go get your blood test. And, you know, Marto, I don't want to, you know, have a dig at you, but
dig away, Lara.
I'm in design.
When was your last blood test, mate?
That's a very good question. How do you know that? I'm feeling guilty sitting here. I should be leading from the front.
Lara, you point to men like Marto, of course, but who typically gets prostate cancer? Is other than, you know, it being a hereditary or a genetic thing, is there someone that's more predisposed to it than others?
No, it doesn't discriminate.
No.
So, I mean, if we look at our supercars community, there's two of our dear friends that have tackled it in the last couple of years. I mean, you can win a Bathurst, but you can still tackle prostate cancer. It doesn't discriminate at all.
So there's no evidence that people sit on their date a lot, as in your husband, driving. That doesn't put pressure on your prostate, does it?
No, not at all.
Right, I'm just checking that one.
Checking for a friend, so you dodge the question.
There's always misinformation, and Marto's just proved that, Craig. Can you tell me, having obviously experienced it in your family, what would you say was one of the common misconceptions that you found in and around prostate cancer?
Well, originally it was basically, you know, the finger up the backside and basically checking it. And now that's as simple as just getting a blood test. And that's how easy it is. And for me, I've got to obviously get a blood test regardless for my racing license and everything else, which I just add now the PSA to that test. So it's just as simple as that. It really is as simple. And I really urge all the men to get out there and just get a blood test. It really, for me, it's a no-brainer. I think there's, you know, one in six men are diagnosed before their age of 85.
Nice. Lounsey, Eve, just hearing your voice and passing that message on, you'll change a lot. You could save a few lives simply by this chat this morning. Can we just ask you one other question? We've got a bit of a... Do you know Renee Gracie, who spent, 2015-16 racing in supercars? We've challenged her to a kart race down at Kingston Park Raceway, okay? Margot's a bit of a gun. I'm hopeless, as you know. Could you get involved? Are you still driving any karts or doing any driving?
No, well, I'm obviously being partnered up with Jamie at Bathurst at the end of the year, but other than that, we haven't done too much else, but... good luck, Margot.
Well, yeah, thank you.
we're busy this month, actually. Can I just give it a quick plug, if that's okay? So this month is the Prostate Cancer Foundation are doing the long run.
Oh, what's that?
It's 72 kilometres over a month. Good way to shift those COVID kilos. Walk, run, wheel, do whatever you want to do. Our good mates at Tyre Power are involved.
So not driving, Lara. It's just it is moving.
Yeah. So you've got to physically shift the chassis and move your body.
Yeah. Well, that's a great idea.
So it runs throughout September, and you guys have already raised $1 million for Australian men and families that have been impacted by prostate cancer. So incredible work there, and thanks to Tyre Power for bringing that awareness to us as well.
Yeah, so jump online, have a look. It's the longrun.org.au. Great way to raise some funds and get out with your family, go for a walk, go for a run, do whatever you want to do, and raise some good funds for Prostate Cancer Foundation.
Always a pleasure to talk to the Lounsers. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo, waking you up weekdays on Triple M.
Sunday afternoon, what a night, what an afternoon it'll be. New Zealand play Argentina, and then on the same field, Australia play the world champion, South Africa. Four of the leading six teams in the world of rugby,
amazing,
all at Seabus Stadium down the coast, and we're sending people down there. We've already sent three people. We've sent a Kiwi, sent a South African, and we've sent an Argentinian. Today we need an Australian.
Yeah, we certainly do.
Do you remember how we did it, which was the best idea? You remember the South African? You had to speak Afrikaans. We had about three or four people, and then we said, you're the best.
We had the Kiwis. We had an All Black fan. Rob from Carindale. Did the haka.
If he can summon that much passion and energy at 7:30, that was on Tuesday, imagine him Sunday afternoon when they're playing. So that's
then we
what
had
we
the
want.
Beautiful Spanish-speaking Roberto, who's our Argentina Pumas.
And that's what we're after, people who care, who we just don't want to throw these tickets away. Because the other thing is, there's a hotel room involved. And I think, did we say the South African's going to room with the Kiwi and the Australian's going to room with the Argentinian?
Small point. Yeah,
these
sharing.
Are people who have never met each other before. Rugby
it's
brings people together.
A social experiment of sorts, Marto. But we are looking for
an Aussie.
An Aussie.
Thank
That's right. Who is a Wallabies fan, and we threw down an early challenge that it would be maybe Aussie animal noises, and you were pathetic. You were woeful. You come up with nothing good.
But I'll tell you what, you were pretty good. Give me your. What did you do? A seagull.
Yeah.
Not. Yeah, that was good, but that's not an Aussie animal. We
do you
want
know
something.
What that was seagull for?
In Give me some chips.
Give me a chip.
Yeah, of course, that's all they say all the time. Shane from Bundaberg. Hi, Shane.
Yeah, how we going?
Right. What animal do you do? What Aussie animal?
I've come from Agnes and end up down the Sunshine Coast, but I'm used to waking up every morning to the peacocks. So yeah, I've got a little bit of a peacock impersonation for you.
All right, loose, mate. This is for the rugby tickets.
Yeah, well, let me pre-apologise just in case. But anyway, here we go.
That's brilliant.
That's some great peacocking.
That is unbelievable, Shane.
Great peacocking, Shane.
Right. Stand by. We've got to have some more Aussie animals.
Jason from Burpengary.
Shane was happy with himself.
He's pretty good at an animal sound attempt. Jason, what have you got for us this morning? You're after some Wallabies tickets. Are you a fan, first and foremost?
Yep, definitely.
Definitely. And
it's going to be a good few weeks.
What animal will you be mimicking today for us?
I'll give a go with a pigeon.
Okay.
Good Aussie pigeon.
It's gone easy.
Aussie want an Aussie pigeon. That's good.
Sounds like a phone ringing. Oh. You know, the old school telephone.
Gee, Jace, I thought that was great. Margo's trying to bag you. But stand by. We've got to go to Nathan from Logan Reserve. Hi, Nathan. What animal?
I'm doing a crow, going through my neighbour's bin at 5 in the morning.
Okay. Oh, that's very, very specific, Nate. Yeah. Right, let it loose, mate, for the rugby ticket.
Oh, I like the long drawn out.
Hey, I like that.
That's not bad. He's at the top of the leaderboard Nathan.
You are the clubhouse leader. Stand by. We go one more.
Stand by. We're going to go to Maddie from Clontarf. Hey, Maddie.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate. It's the crow for me that you've got to beat at the finish line.
What are you doing,
Maddie?
What
have you got for us?
Oh, I've got the kookaburra for you.
All everyone doing birds.
The
okay.
Or
here's
the
real thing. Yeah. Okay.
Righto, Maddie.
Righto.
That is incredible. All right, it's either crow or kookaburra for
mine. Tell you what, in my 2 years of working in breakfast radio with you, Marto, I think this is my highlight.
Well, you're going to have to make a decision here.
I know.
Because I only got one ticket to go to represent Australia on behalf of Triple M. Come on.
Jason from Burpengary's pigeon. It was good. You know, it sounded like a bit of a telephone. I wanted more of a...
No, don't go backwards. Let's leave it between the crow and the kookaburra.
Nathan from Logan Reserve with his crow and Maddie from Clontarf with the kookaburra.
The crow was pretty good.
Yeah. Can we go back to Nathan? Can he do the crow again? Nathan, are you there? This is for the tickets, mate. Can you give us one more crow?
It's a tiebreaker, yes. Nathan.
Ready?
Yep. That last bit's good, isn't it? Hey, no, go back to Maddie at Clontarf. Quickly give us a kookaburra, mate. I'm going Maddie simply because it's more Australian.
It was long and it was... Yeah.
Sorry, Nathan.
Maddie from Clontarf, you are our
Australian.
Fair dinkum, true blue Aussie. You're heading along to the Wallabies, mate.
Oh, you beauty. Thank you. Thank you, Nathan. Good effort, brother.
Yeah, good effort
what
from
about
Nathan.
That humility.
Thank you to Jason from Burpengary,
hey,
everybody.
Maddie, stand by. We have to play a song at some stage here. play a song. We'll be back with the people who you're going to the rugby with, the people representing Argentina, New Zealand and South Africa.
Technically, you'll be sleeping with. Your next Gold Coast getaway a starcation. Book now at thestargoldcoast.com.au.
Oh, they're staying at the Star?
Absolutely. Yeah, and going
we
to the
are
footy
incredible,
Sunday,
aren't
yeah.
we?
Oh. All right, we'll meet them all.
Hello, gentlemen. Are we all there?
For a weekend. Fun in the sun and some rugby.
All right. Now, listen, we've only got two rooms at the Star Hotel.
The budget only allowed us.
Maddie, you'll be meeting Roberto for the first time. Roberto, and we didn't want to, because Australia's playing South Africa, so we didn't want to put you with a South African. Are you happy with that, Maddie and Roberto? Just say hello to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. How you going, Roberto?
Right there, Ruben. Okay. Have you, yeah. And also Rob representing New Zealand and Brett representing South Africa. You guys say hello to each other.
Hey, Rob, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you? I hear you live close to Carindale Mall, mate. We may as well carpool together.
Oh, no, hello.
Oh, Carina
and Carindale. Oh, jeez.
They're just neighbours.
Oh, this is funny.
We could be building a bromance here of sorts.
Brett, Rob, have you guys ever slept with a man you've never met before? You know, as in the same room?
State of the old backpackers.
Oh, you guys are on.
Spooner and Spoonie.
No, there's two beds.
Oh, twin share, of course. Okay. You get your own beds. You just have to share the same room, gentlemen.
There's not much more to say. We'll speak to you Monday.
It's happening.
All the best.
It's happening.
It's 11
o'clock. Margo and I aren't coming down, so behave yourself.
Good luck with that.
We should share a room, Marto.
No.
Big breakfast to Triple.
Good luck, everyone.
Big spoon.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.